Verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." We began looking at this passage of Scripture last week, the practical part of the book of Galatians. How do we live now that we are not under law, but under grace? Three words that are there in that passage I told you about last week: live, or some translations say walk, and led. What is the difference between living and led? The Holy Spirit is not our buddy. He's not our compadre. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's out there in front. Follow Him. He's the boss. And living by the Spirit, that's confusing to a lot of people. Why did you do what you did? Well, I was led by the Spirit of God. Well, maybe you are led by a spirit, but a different spirit. How do you know it's the Spirit of God? I can promise you this. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to Scripture. Never. Well, the Holy Spirit led me to live with someone I'm not married to. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not. The Holy Spirit led me to get drunk last night. I didn't. I said, that was the night before. No, the Holy Spirit will never. The Holy Spirit led me to gossip about someone. Do not blame that on the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will always lead you to do what is consistent with Scripture. And the idea of being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, is not like, I got to get some more of the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. But the idea is controlled and following and being consistent in His Word. So last week we looked at verse 16 through 18. The command, what's the command? Be led, live by the Spirit. That is a command. That is not an option, not something you might want to consider. This is a command from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the conflict, the flesh, the sinful nature, and the Spirit controlling your life, is there any conflict there? Only one yes? Yes! If you're not experiencing the conflict, something's wrong. Yes, there is this conflict between this flesh that I'm stuck in, but the Spirit trying to control my life. Conflict. So how do you tell the difference? If you are led by the Spirit, certain things show up in your life. If you are led by the sinful nature, certain things show up in your life. Now, I've always heard this statement since I was a young boy. You can't judge a book by its cover. Yes, you can. After you turn a page or two, you find out what the book's about. If you are led by the sinful nature, this is going to show up. If you're led by the Spirit, this is going to show up. Now, you don't want to just meet someone and say, oh, he's got a cowboy shirt on. He's got to be a godly man. Any cowboy shirts here today? Two. I see. What's wrong with you guys? I even see a Green Bay shirt. Oh, which one's the Spirit and which one's the flesh? We won't go there. You get the point. You can judge a book by its cover after a while. These things show up. So we look at the contrast. And today we'll just have time to look at the sinful nature. But hold that in thought. Don't miss next week. We'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. The contrast, verse 19 through verse 23. And we'll look today just at verse 19 through 21. And Paul will give us here a side-by-side list of the flesh. And living by the flesh is what? Ugly. It is nasty. It is evil. It is repulsive. You read verse 19 through verse 21, you say, I don't want to do any of those things. That's living by the sinful nature. Now, we may not admit that we do those things. We don't brag about them, do we, as Christians? We don't say, you know, I just want to brag that I committed some sexual immorality this week, or some immorality or adultery. I had a fit of rage. Hey, and we don't admit that we do those things, but we do. When we are led and give in to the flesh. But on the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit is beautiful and attractive. Don't you want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on and self-control? Now, neither list is an exhaustive list. This is not all the acts of the flesh. This is not all the fruit of the Spirit. They are examples. Because you notice in verse 21, he says, and the like. And then in verse 24, he says, such things. So these are some examples. Let's look. Just go ahead and go, oh, this is nasty. Oh, this is distasteful. But we need to understand the acts of the sinful nature to compare them with the beauty of the fruit of the Spirit. So let's look at the deeds of the flesh. If we live by the flesh, now, just so we all understand, do we all have the Spirit of God if we're believers? Yes. However, I don't know if you've ever been asked this question, do you all have the sinful nature still with you? We're stuck until we get to heaven. And the more we become under the control of the Spirit, the more mature, more Christ-like we become. That's a big word in church called sanctification. Don't we want to become more and more sanctified? Yes. Yes. And so, Paul says, the acts of the sinful nature, verse 19, are what? Obvious. The word there means manifest. The light comes on. They're easy to see. Do you know anybody? Have you ever seen any of these things practiced? Oh, yeah. Now, Christ made it very clear that our basic problem is not on the outside. If my environment was better, if I had a better education, then I would be a better person. Jesus made it very clear that our problem is not on the outside. Our problem is where? On the inside. You don't believe me? Turn over to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark 7, verse 20. Jesus speaking, and he said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And these evils come from inside and make him unclean. Notice three times he says, from inside. Not from outside, from inside. So, what's your real problem? Let me tell you. You came to church to feel good today. Let me just tell you. You got a problem. So do I. And what's our problem? Inside. It's not the stuff going on. We want to gripe and complain about what's going on. That's not your problem. Yeah, you're affected by that stuff, but our real problem is in here. Say, uh-huh, amen. I got it. Look to yourself and say, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. You're the problem, right? The environment is not man's main problem. Man pollutes the environment. The environment doesn't pollute man. If you go to one of the most beautiful spots on the face of this earth, where would that be? I would pick Williams Reservoir next to the Wiminooch Wilderness. Oh, I love that place. It is gorgeous. And some of you have been there and you say, now we know what you're talking about. But it's too far for you to go. Don't go there and mess it up. All right? Please don't go there. It's in Kansas. All right? You go to this beautiful place. Who created it? God created it. And there's not a lot of man-made stuff. But even today, if you were to go there, you find some people have put some trash there. Beautiful places in our own state, and you go there and people have dumped trash. See, the problem is not our environment. We're the ones that pollute the environment. The environment's not going to pollute itself. It's us. So the idea of everybody telling you, well, if we had better housing, we had better education, we had better jobs, we had better medicine, we had better insurance, you know, we all want those things. Those are not bad things in themselves, but none of those things will do anything to solve our basic problem. Our basic problem is sin on the inside of us, our hearts. Now, Paul gives us a list here of what shows up if we're led by the sinful nature. But there's some other lists. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Speaking of the fall of man, he says in verse 29, Romans 1, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. Wow, he mentions all those terrible things like murder and gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. No. Wow. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do that very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Let me give you another list. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I'm afraid that when I come, Paul says to the Corinthians, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, disorder. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. There's a lot of things that show up if we live by the sinful nature. Now, as you go back to Galatians and see the list Paul gives us there, which we'll look at in a moment, not all of these show up in everybody. Different than the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is singular, which we'll see next week. If you are controlled by the Spirit, how much of that fruit shows up? Well, it's one fruit, singular. It all shows up. But in the acts, plural, of the flesh, some of these things show up. Some of these things don't show up. And they don't all show up to the same degree. As you look at that list, verse 19 through 21, just take another gander at that. Would you say that these things are normal or abnormal? That is a trick question. I'm telling you in advance. They are very normal for an unbeliever. Those who do not have the Spirit of God, these things are normal. However, they are very and should be abnormal for a believer. If these things, you say, that's me, watch out. That means you are led completely by the sinful nature. But a Christian who is led by the Spirit of God, these are abnormal. But as Christians, are there any Christians in the house? As a Christian, we have a choice. We can walk, be led by, live under the control of the Spirit of God, and we walk away from all of these things listed in 19 through 21. Or we can give in to the flesh and fall victim to some of these or to all of them. Now, let's just know what we're talking about. Let's look through his list. And Paul's list of the acts of the sinful nature and such things, I would put them in three categories. One has to do with sex. Next one about religion, and the other about relationships with other people. Let's look at the list. Under sex, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. I know I'm talking to, in our culture, that just no one practices sexual immorality today, do they? Well, it got quiet. The Greek word is porneia. We get words like pornography, pornographic. It has a very broad meaning. It means any kind of sex that is outside of marriage. Any kind. And so, what would sexual immorality would be? It would be adultery, fornication, which means sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, prostitution, sex with animals. Anytime there is any sex except with your husband and wife, that's porneia. That's sexual immorality. Does that happen in the world? Duh, it does. That's normal. Does it happen in the church? It better not. But it sneaks in. When we give into the flesh, we practice that. And it's obvious. It's wrong. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, you know, there's this porneia, this sexual immorality going on in the church that's even the pagans wouldn't even do. Now, how bad could the pagans get in sexual immorality? Whoa. He says, but it's creeping into the church. And the church is proud of it. They're saying, oh, we're so accepting and loving. He says, you ought to kick that person out of the church because it's contaminating the whole church. This is not normal for those that are led by the Spirit of God. And impurity. The root of that word means unclean. It means any kind of impurity in a person's life. Came to mean sexual sin or thoughts. And it was used as a medical term to refer to an infected or oozing sore. You don't want to think about that. But that's behind the meaning of this word, unclean. In the Bible, it was used for a ceremonial uncleanliness when giving sacrifices to God, or just being dirty. Didn't wash your hands. It has the idea of any impurity that prevents a person from approaching God. Why is it we sing that song, "Give Us Clean Hands"? Do we need to have some washcloths out there? And before you come into the service, everybody needs to wash their hands. It's a symbol of our hearts. Impurity and debauchery, the next one. Some of your translations translate it sensuality. It's the idea of any kind of excess, lack of restraint. If you had no restraints, no laws, no consequences, what would you do? Whatever you want. And where would that take you? Whoa. I am glad I have restraints. But those who live by the sinful nature, why not do whatever you want? People say, well, you can marry whoever you want. Okay. I want to marry my horse. You say, well, that's not right. Well, why not? If there's no restraints, I don't have a horse, by the way. I'm not going to marry a horse. But you get the idea. And so primarily this word has to do with no restraints, sexual excess. Like the guy I told you about that was on the news a few weeks ago who said, I have the right to have sex with anybody I want to anytime. See, if there's no restraints, why not? That's the sinful nature. It's the opposite of a word we don't use anymore, sobriety, which means control. Now the second section has to do with religion. Man-made religion. How does man, when he comes up with religion, come up with his ideas? You get to God on your own effort. You do the right things and God will accept you. Or even better, why don't we make up our own God? I don't like your God. I'm going to make one up. And when I make up my own God, guess who he looks like? Guess who he approves? Me. Man-made religion. So idolatry. Look at your list. Idolatry is obvious. Man-made religion. I worship something I made. Now think of the, I'm trying to think of a milder word than stupidity. But think of the stupidity. I'll just use that word. It's in my notes. Of that, if I worship something I made, then in reality, who am I worshiping? I'm worshiping me. Idolatry and sorcery and witchcraft. Some of your translations say witchcraft, some say sorcery. The Greek word there, and you know what words we get from this, is pharmakia. I wonder, what words do we get from that? Pharmakia, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals, drugs. You say, why would that be associated with sorcery or witchcraft? Because originally it meant medicine to the Greeks. But then it came to mean anything that was mood, mind-altering. We experience, a lot of people are doing that today, don't they? They may not think they're doing sorcery, but if you're taking drugs to make you feel different, not as medicine, but to experience something, it's the same idea. In many of the ancient religions, drugs, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals, were used. You take this drug, you smoke this stuff, you ingest this stuff, you get drunk enough, then you can communicate with your God. Ooh. Now think about this. What kind of God is it that I have to alter my mind, I have to get out of myself, become intoxicated, so I can communicate with my God? Well, it's a God I made up. It's not the real God. So it was used of pagan in pagan religions, anything like, it became to be a synonym for witchcraft or black magic. You took these drugs, drink this stuff to communicate. The third group, which I think we probably have more of a problem with, is relationships with one another. Notice it gives you a whole list. Let's look at them. Hatred. There's a saying today, don't be a hater. Anytime I say something, sometimes my wife will say, now don't be a hater. You know, hating is an attitude. Hating is an attitude. It's the same word in Greek as an enemy. You've made an enemy of someone. Why would you hate anybody? Because you think you are better than they are. All right, you're right and they're wrong. And results, the attitude results in strife and bitter conflict. I want you to notice something about this list here. A wrong attitude always shows up sooner or later in wrong behavior. Where does our behavior start? I think this way, I behave this way. Because when someone misbehaves, what do we say to them? What were you thinking? Those controlled by the sinful nature, he says, are haters. Discord, strife, bitter conflict, jealousy. What's jealousy? Jealousy is wanting what belongs to someone else. That's one that creeps in the church, isn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Which one's easier? It's usually easier to mourn with those who mourn. Oh, you poor thing, I'm sorry, I feel for you, I'll pray for you. How about rejoicing with those who rejoice? I got a new car, it's out there in the parking lot. Well, why did I get a new car? How come you got a raise? How come you got a better job? Jealousy, wanting what the other person has. Results, eventually, perhaps, fits of rage. Whoa. Just don't even let that word in. Spit it out. The root of that word means to burn. You know the kind of people that just want to pour gasoline on everything? Burning. That's the idea. It means a sudden, unrestrained expression of hostility towards someone else. You know people like that. How are you doing? Boom! Where did that come from? Fits of rage. We say of people, well, they fly off the handle. It's the opposite, again, of self-control. Are there times you would really like to fly off the handle? Be honest. Are there times that you would really like to tell people what you think and how stupid they are? Why don't you do it? Because they might do it back to you? No, because you are led by the Spirit, which is self-control. But those who are led by the sinful nature, boom! Where did that come from? Fly off the handle. Oh, she has a temper. They get mad very easily. Notice the connections here. I'm a hater. Therefore, I'm jealous. I want what you have. And it often results in, because I don't get it, I fly off the handle, a fit of rage. Selfish ambition. Rivalries is what the word means. Choosing sides. Are you for me? Are you for us? Are you a Cowboy fan? Are you a Packer fan? How about we're God fans? You know, we want to choose sides. Well, so-and-so offended me. And, well, why are you telling me? Because I want you on my side so we can go get them together. Factions, dissensions, divisions, and the like. The Greeks had a goddess. You know, they had a goddess and a god for everything. They had a goddess of unity. But they also had a goddess of discord. Why would you go worship that god? We need more discord here. Let's worship this goddess of discord. Now, it's not just that we argue with each other behind all of these, but it's the attitude, I'm better than you are, and I'm going to prove it. And so I'm jealous of what you have, and I'll fly off the handle just so you understand that I'm better than you are. Envy. Now, what's the difference between jealousy and envy? See, jealousy is, I want what you have. Envy is, I'm so jealous of it, I'm going to take it away from you. Where does that lead? And I will take it away from you. Again, notice how the attitude, how we think, how we are led by the sinful nature always leads to some kind of action. Can you judge a book by its cover? If you turn a couple of pages, you can. It shows up in a person's life. I am so jealous of you that I will lose my temper. And I may lose my temper with my words, with my actions, because, you know, my sinful nature. Now think this through. My sinful nature is better than your sinful nature. See, when you're led by the Spirit, these things don't show up. But those who are led by the sinful nature, it's obvious. I want what you have, and I am so zealous for that, I will take it. And then he goes on a couple of more. He says, and drunkenness and orgies. Ephesians 5:18. You probably know it very well. Say it with me. Do not. Or say it after me. I'll help you along. Do not become drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then he lists here acts of the drunkenness. Because when you're intoxicated, whose control are you under? Who controls your life? When you are intoxicated, in a good sense, controlled by the Spirit, whose influence are you under? But those who are under the sinful nature, drunkenness and orgies, that's how they act. I am so influenced that, what's an orgy? Don't tell me. rowdiness, boisterous, crude behavior, doing whatever I want. Very similar to debauchery. No restraint. I can do what I want because I'm under the influence and I'm not held responsible. You know, all of these things were very much practiced in pagan religions. That's what they did. Like the Geico commercial. That's what you do. If you are led by the sinful nature, this is how you behave. And then he adds this little etc. And the like. So he tells you it's not an exhaustive list. Are there other things you can think of that would show up controlled by the sinful nature? Yes. Just some examples. These represent. And then verse 21, he says, I tell you, I warn you, like I've warned you before, this is not new stuff. You ought to know this. If you behave like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you live like this, you're not going to heaven. That's another way of saying it. You're not going to heaven. And the Galatian Christians, and you may be thinking this, you know, I used to live like this before I was a Christian. I used to live like this before I had the Holy Spirit. Some of that's kind of appealing. I think I'll go back. He says, well, if you go back, you're not going to heaven. And some of them might be thinking, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm really under the control of the Holy Spirit, and I'm really trying to please God. But, you know, I messed up and I did one of these last week. Does that mean I'm not going to heaven? It's over? Give it up? I think the key to understanding this is in verse 21, which says, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this. Some of your translations will say those who practice these things. What does that mean? It means if you practice something, it's a habit. In fact, that word that he uses there is the same, exact same word for the title of the book of Acts. If you look at Acts chapter 1, what's it say? What's the title? Have you ever, you know what the book of Acts is? What does it say? The Acts of the Apostle. The Acts is the same word that he uses here, who live like this, who practice these things. In other words, do you continually do these things? Do you continually practice sexual immorality? Do you continually practice envy and the like? Doesn't mean any of them are okay. You better knock it off, is what he's saying here. They're not on God's approval list. But can a Christian slip back and live under the flesh? We do it constantly. Habitual. Yes, we still sin, but are we continually, habitually doing these things? Occasionally, I do them, but I come to God for forgiveness, and God says, repent. That means stop doing them. Don't keep doing it. Well, yeah, I'm living in sexual immorality, and so I'm just going to keep asking for forgiveness. No, that's not good enough. Stop it. Move out. Repent. Change. See, I'm not always angry, am I? No, sometimes I'm not. But occasionally, my flesh takes over and I'm angry. And sometimes I fly off in a fit of rage. But is it a pattern of my life? A habit? An act of my life? And if any of these pop up in my life, if they go unchecked, if I don't knock it off, if I don't stop, then watch out. They will grow. And they will become a pattern of your life. Just like, oh, you got to come next week. Just like, what does fruit do? Fruit grows. You say, I got a little love. You got to get some more. Fruit grows. So do the acts of the sinful nature. They grow. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. You don't keep doing these things. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Don't claim to be a Christian if you're practicing these things. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue, keep on sinning, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. If you are a believer, you have God's seed. Remember Galatians 3? What's living? Who's living in you? The Holy Spirit of God. So what ought to show up in our lives? The fruit of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, who's the wicked? Bank robbers and murderers? Now listen what he says. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, or the greedy, or drunkards, or slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Before you came to Christ, you were, right? Ah. You couldn't help it. You were living by the flesh. But some of you were, verse 11, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Many years ago, a lady came, wanted to talk to me about the church. And she came to visit with me and she said, I just want to know if I would be accepted at this church. I said, yes. But we want you to come to Christ. So I'm already a Christian. Been a Christian for a long time. I just want you to know that I'm a homosexual. And I said, I thought you said you were a Christian. And she said, I am a Christian. I said, well, let me understand this. Are you practicing homosexual activities? Oh, no, it's wrong. I wouldn't do that. And I said, then what are you telling me? And she said, I'm a homosexual. And I brought this scripture out and I said, you were. But now you've been washed. You are no longer involved in that sin. And we might think, well, that's a dirty, rotten sin. I don't know. Who is it? Maybe I'm going to look around and find out if she's still here. No. Every one of us were not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But you've been washed. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You've been sanctified. Now live like it. Don't let that sinful nature, yes, we do occasionally sin, but that doesn't make it okay. Watch out. Repent or it will grow. Here's the question for today. Ask yourself and then we'll pray. And pray about this. What does your life look like? What is evident in our lives that shows who's leading? Who's in charge? Is my life led by the sinful nature? Well, these will show up. Or is my life under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit? And the next verses will show up. Who's our master? Who's leading? If the world looks at your book, and they say, well, I'm going to look at this book. Can I judge a book by its cover? And they turn a few pages. Well, what do they see? Let's take a few moments, just quiet. And you ask the Lord to help you understand the answers to those questions. Our great God, we thank you for your word, which is so plain. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but what we've looked at today is very obvious. You even tell us it's obvious. That who controls our life, what we allow to lead us, results in certain behavior, attitudes, and then the behavior. We thank you that you have given us the power to live a godly life. You have imputed your righteousness to us, and you have let the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, come move into our lives. And we want him to take over in how we live, how we think. May we, when we find any of these behaviors, attitudes creeping into our life, run from them and run back to the control of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.